WLCB, LP, Slade's Corners.
WLCB is a listener-supported station. We rely on your financial help. This, in addition to support from our all-volunteer staff in terms of time and money. Please visit our website at www.latesradio.org and click on Support WLCB. Whatever you can afford to send goes a long way to help keep us on the air. Once again, please visit www.latesradio.org. When you click on Support WLCB and choose an amount, you'll be in business, and so will we.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
There's nothing on the radio. Well, I beg to differ. Hi, I'm Paul, and on Friday nights from 6 to 7, I host The Soul of Music. From 7 to 8:30, decades. Music from the 50s all the way to 2024. Different decades each week. From 8:30 to 11, Tim takes you to Graybeard's Clubhouse. The Friday all-day, all-night party is on. It's got to be WLCB. You won't believe your ears.
Yeah.
And of course, is Olivia Newton-John. And I'll tell you, certainly one of my guilty pleasures is Olivia Newton-John. I kind of grew up listening to her, and I blame my dad for that. And if my dad was still around, he'd be tuned in listening to this, because even though he was an old school country guy, when Olivia Newton-John first came on the scene, he was like, wow, this is just amazing music, and what a voice of an angel, is what he used to say. And I have the honor and privilege of having Annie Aiello from the band Always Olivia. They're going to be out in Blue Island this Friday night at the Lyric Theater. There are still tickets available. You can get tickets really easy. This is so easy, because I clicked about three or four clicks in at lyrictheater.com, and you're in business. And I'm so happy, because this morning I got Annie Aiello from Always Olivia on the phone with me right now. How you doing, Annie?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Looking forward to Friday, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Of course, if you just said, just like a KTEL commercial, if you just said it was Always Olivia and it was Olivia Newton-John music all night, you'd be happy with that, because there's so much to visit there. But just like a Ronco commercial, there's more. Because
exactly.
There's Mulberry Street, the Billy Joel tribute, is going to be on the bill with you this Friday night. So what a great night of music. And please tell us how this all came together, because the people want to hear.
Well, I'll start a little bit way back, if you're okay with it, if we got a little bit of time.
Yeah,
so I've been a fan of Olivia's. I won't tell you how old I am, but if you're good at math, you probably could figure it out. But I was a fan of Olivia's ever since the age of about 7 years old. My dad came home with the Have You Never Been Mellow album. And, you know, I had never heard of this person. We grew up listening to all kinds of great music, big vinyl albums, you know. And my father brought home this album, and I put it on, and I just became an immediate fan. And, you know, her voice was just something that I really took to and admired her from a young girl to, you know, watching her grow as a professional vocalist and musician was amazing. And all the genres of music that Olivia covered, you know, you talked about your dad being a country music guy. Well, Olivia had a country music era.
Sure.
You know, she was the 70s were all country. She won the CMAs. She won the Country Music Award, best female in the 70s, and totally tore up Nashville, because she was from Australia and came to Nashville and won the CMA. And then, you know, there's of course the Grease era, right? Which was defined the late 70s, 80s. And then after that, she became, you know, Let's Get Physical girl. And, you know, that whole thing. And so her song Physical defined the 80s. And, you know, some of you may not even know that she continued to write until really up until she passed away. And, you know, I was a fan of hers all those years. And, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer in her early 40s. I followed that whole genre and that whole era of her life. And she was very much an advocate for people that, you know, were struggling with cancer. And back then, a lot of people didn't talk about breast cancer. And so she was a huge, you know, proponent for health and wellness. And, you know, one of the things we do as a band is we give back to the O&J Cancer Wellness Center, which is kind of a unique thing. So anyway, this has just been an amazing journey for me. I didn't really imagine this was going to be part of my music career. Wasn't like I planned it, but I'm really grateful for it. It's been a real wonderful, it's been kind of a full circle moment for me, for sure.
And in your show that you do, you cover all the genres and follow her journey through her musical career. And you know, like I said, when she came on the scene early and you know, she hit Nashville and all this, and you know, I do remember this, that she wasn't completely accepted in Nashville. Mm-hmm. She didn't grow up in the South. She's from Australia. What country?
Right.
She's just from another country. She's not from our country, you know.
Right.
But I do remember that. But, you know, It didn't matter because her strength and really, in my opinion, her conviction is why she touched so many people with her music and the honesty.
Yep.
If there was ever, if I had to describe her and her music in one word, it would be complete honesty. I guess that's two words, but
sincerity.
Exactly. And you can't, that's something that's not taught. Those songs that she wrote, that's from the heart. Everything's on the sleeve here. This is me. This is my blues, even though it, you know, it's country and pop and all that stuff. This is her story. And, you know, any artist, if you think about it, when she started out, any artist to make it through all those years and the evolution of music, you know what I mean? Because you had, you know, obviously you had the more traditional country, really, when she started out, you know, it was more traditional country on the radio. She penetrated that. The disco era made it through that. The 80s, the 90s, you know, she kept pushing it out. And of course, I mean, the Grease stuff is epic. I mean,
iconic,
just
that,
you could do a show. I'm sure people have told you this. You should do just the Grease era because there's enough material that you could do stuff. But, you know, the thing is I love the fact that you visit all the eras of her journey, her musical journey, because it's really what defines her and really shows you what a trooper and you know, her conviction and dedication to the music.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, I mean, people forget. I feel like Olivia is one of the most underrated legends out there. I mean, they forget that she sold over 100 million records. She's right up there with Cher, with, you know, some of the greats. And you know, when we do our show, people are like, oh, I forgot that. Oh, man, I didn't know she did that song. I didn't know she did that song. And so that's kind of what we hear and just how amazed they are. At the fact that she was just this long-standing artist. And to your point, Mark, I mean, yeah, I have five costume changes that I go through. So the first I try to go through. One of the things we do is we really studied how Olivia did her show live, and we really try to be true to how she actually did her concerts live. So we did some study on what was the order of the songs in which she did. How did she do her country medley? Our country medley is exactly as Olivia did it. Exactly. So, you know, like she started out with Xanadu, she went into Magic, she did Suddenly. And so that's very much our song order because that's how Olivia did it. So it's really, we try to be as true to form as possible. So we start out with, you know, kind of this 70s beautiful costume, which, by the way, I'll give kudos to my sister, Lisa McClowry. She's not my real sister, but we call each other that because we're doing this tribute thing together. But she's the one who I went to really learn how to do this. I was a gigging musician around Chicago, and never really, you know, as I said, I didn't dream I'd be doing this tribute thing. And Lisa is probably one of the best tribute artists in the country. She won Tribute Artist of the Year back in 2023 for the Josie Music Awards, and she is spot on Cher. Like, when you see her on stage, you think she's Cher. But she had me come to Vegas, and she introduced me to a costume designer who actually worked with Olivia when Olivia had her stint in Vegas. And so Sophia Song and a gentleman by the name of Kevin Bennett put my costumes together. And literally, you know, knew how Olivia would dress and dressed me accordingly. So the first costume we do is kind of more from the 70s. It's kind of a billowy, sleevey kind of thing that Olivia wore. I'm 4 inches shorter than Olivia, so I don't have the long legs, but I wear really high heels, which is hilarious. People are in awe that I actually do jumping jacks and Let's Get Physical in 3-inch heels, which is funny. But
you're way better than I am.
Yeah. I mean, then we go into a country era where I have, you know, this costume that's very, very much what Olivia would have worn, a hat that looks a lot like what she wore in her country medley. We go into Grease and we do that, and I won't give away too much, but and then we hit physical, and then we do, you know, kind of a more gown ballady type thing. So It's really a thing, and I had to learn how to do costume changes in 90 seconds and under. And, you know, that's an art in and of itself that I had to actually physically watch and see how it was done, because it's insane when you really think about it. So, yeah.
One of the things I really appreciate about you, and I say this about people who do this, is the fact that you give back to cancer wellness and research. And, you know, I always say, musicians using their special powers to do good, and me actually being a cancer survivor myself.
Wow.
I so appreciate that. And I know that's something that is near and dear to Olivia Newton-John's heart too, because obviously she's a survivor, you know, she was a survivor, and I really think by her bringing it to the forefront, and you touched on it earlier, helps people get through, you know, and yeah. You know, and I get it, a breast cancer situation, but really there's all sorts of cancers, and really it's about the battle and hopefully overcoming it and showing that strength. Mm-hmm. And she's certainly a shining star when it comes to that whole situation, and really shed a light on something that, like you said, at the time, if you look at the time frame, really wasn't talked about so much. Certainly, social media wasn't so relevant back then.
Right.
And you know, the fact that she put, you know, she used her special powers and her bully pulpit, if you want to call it that, to get it out to the people that, hey, you know what? I'm going through this too. We're going to get through it together.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I've watched, that's exactly right. I've watched a variety of interviews of Olivia, and I would honestly believe that her later years were almost some of her best. And it's hard to say that because, you know, she was getting sicker, but I think she really embraced sort of her mantle of influence for good. And she knew what kind of influence she had, and she used it to really bring about change in people's lives. And I think that ONJ Cancer Center, she put her name to the ONJ Cancer Center in Melbourne, Australia. And they had a walk, and they have a walk every year in October. And, you know, Olivia used to say she was journeying with cancer, and she was so positive. She was always positive about her situation, and she called herself a healer with her music. So she would use her music, the music she wrote later in her life, really was intended to speak to what you're talking about, Mark, which is to really help encourage others who are going through difficult times, whether it's illness or something else, but just going through challenge. She wrote a whole album called Grace and Gratitude. She wrote, you know, albums and songs about healing and moving on and moving forward. And so we cover a bit of that in our show towards the end. And interestingly enough, I had a chance to become friends with Amy Sky, who wrote a lot of these songs with her. And so her and I are in conversation as of late, but Olivia has just really done some amazing things. And so, yeah, as part of what we want to do as a band is, and I think it's what distinguishes us from other tributes out there, is that we give a portion of the proceeds of every show we do back to the ONJ Cancer Center. And, you know, we participate in the walk, and it's my father passed of cancer. Everybody's touched by cancer, right? In some way. I had a brother-in-law who died of a brain tumor. Olivia's sister died of a brain tumor. And so it hits us in so many ways. And I think that's what just makes it so universal, is we all can sit there and look at each other and go, yeah, you know, I know somebody in my life who's dealing with this right now. And so this music is what really, I think Olivia said, okay, that's what I can do uniquely to help improve someone's life, whether it be a short stint or, you know, they've got a long journey ahead. So, you know, I personally authentically embrace that philanthropic ideal. And I just say, okay, you know, we want to move forward with that. And so at my concerts, I have a table set up where people can scan a QR code and donate $5, $10, whatever it is, to the cause, because it does go back to benefit, you know, in some way. So, yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, to your earlier question, there I was in 2017. I had had tickets to see Olivia in concert at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, Illinois. And we were supposed to see her in May, and she postponed it until August because she was diagnosed with cancer for the third time. Yeah. And so here's this woman who went through a major surgery on her lower, I think it was her pelvic area, that, you know, she could barely walk, but she had the strength, to your point, to get up and go and do this final tour around the U.S. And so she came through Illinois, and I was there with my best friend from third grade, who is also a huge fan. And here we are in our, you know, 40s at this point. And and so she closed the concert with Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was just the stunning, it was just a piano and her voice, and it was absolutely stunning. It was probably one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard her sing personally. But in my mind, as I was walking out of that building, and here I am, you know, I'm a vocalist. I've been very much groomed by her voice in my life, her influence. And I walked out of there thinking, I have to do something to continue to bring her music live. I don't know if this is the last time I'll ever hear her. That was 2017. Well, she passed in 2022, but, you know, right in between that was COVID. And so during COVID, I hired some musician friends of mine to help me lay down some tracks. I just was like, you know, now's the time. If I'm going to do anything, now's the time. So I took some measures to really make some headway on my idea of maybe doing a tribute to her. And so there I was in COVID, building out soundtracks, recording background vocals, you know, doing all the work. And I released my first YouTube video because no venues were open at this point. Nobody's performing anywhere. So I released my first songs on YouTube. And that was the beginning of 2022. And come July of 2022, I had an agency aware of what I was doing. And then Olivia passed in August, and I had my first concert. So I was signed with an agency before I even had my first show. And so we started touring pretty much immediately nationally in 2023. And it was just a crazy, I mean, you know, like I said, I never imagined I would be here, but people really appreciate it. They're, you know, the fans of Olivia, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, you hit all the best songs. And, you know, it's because I am a fan. I know what I would want to hear.
Sure. Absolutely. You know? 1,000%.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you donate and even at the concert, you make it available for somebody to, you know, use their phone. I mean, that's kind of what everybody does these days. Like I said, we live in this one or two or three click world. And the fact that you do that and you use the music and the message. And of course we all know that music is a healer, but besides that, to use your special powers to help people, it's so important, and it gives what you're doing so much meaning and purpose, and you get to carry on that message directly from her. Those are pretty big shoes to fill, but I commend you for doing that. I got to ask you before we go, did you ever get a chance to meet her?
I have. Yeah. I have twice. And by the way, I will never fill her shoes, and I'm not trying to, but we try to do the best we can. Sure. And you know, bring about the best show we can. But yes, I did get to meet Olivia twice. I met her once. I'll just tell you quickly, it was in Joliet, and I was the last person to meet her, and as I was going to meet her, the fire alarm went off.
Oh, no.
And so she signed my album as cool as a cucumber. We walked out of a building that was literally on fire.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was like the garbage chute or something. And so she, you know, we walked out of the building together. And then the second time I got to meet her, I had recorded one of her songs called Serenity, which was on one of her albums. And it was a meaningful, you know, prayer in my family growing up, and I recorded it, and I gave her a copy of my album, and she signed a copy for me. And that was an incredibly special moment, because, you know, it was kind of this exchange of music and appreciation. And so, you know, that was the last time I met her, but very briefly, but I wish I would have had a chance to meet her. And as I said, what's cool is I've had a chance to meet with a couple people that have worked with Olivia. Jim Brickman, I got to sing with him a song that he wrote with Olivia just this past February. And Amy Skye, we're working on a project together. And so she toured around with the Live On Tour. And so it's just been really neat to be able to be introduced to some of these folks that work directly with Olivia, and that they have endorsed my show and really supported it is really amazing. So,
that's so cool. Always Olivia is going to be at the Lyric Theater this Friday night. There are still tickets available. LyricTheater.com. And like I said, about 1, 2, 3 clicks, and you're in business for a great show, of course, with Mulberry Street, a Billy Joel tribute out in Blue Island. Yeah. And what's the best way people can stay in touch with you and your schedule for Always Olivia?
Yeah, go to alwaysoliviatribute.com. We have a list of our shows. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can find out more about the ONJ Cancer Center. And this weekend, if you go to lyrictheater.com, you can get tickets right away. So really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for doing this morning. And another one of my guilty pleasure songs. you're exposing my underbelly with this interview this morning, but I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with it. We're gonna hear Magic right now off the Xanadu soundtrack, and with also, you know, featuring, are you kidding me, one of my favorite bands, one of my first albums I ever bought, the band Electric Light Orchestra. And Annie, have a great show Friday, and hope to talk to you soon again.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I'll be guiding you, building your dreams.
Hello, this is Danny Farrell, and I have some good sound advice for you. If you like rock and roll, then listen to the Mark Rickey Radio Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 a.m. to 12.
I gotta thank FridayParts.com again.
That's some good sound advice. The Mark Rickey Radio Show, right here on WLCB.
Jesus just left Chicago.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's John and Heidi from the John and Heidi Show.
On Thursdays, we have
Dear John letters.
Our letter this week is from a man whose wife had an affair 10 years ago, and recently she heard from the guy, and he's in hospice.
Oh.
You can chime in at facebook.com/John and Heidi Show.
It's all happening on the Thursday edition of the John and Heidi Show.
Never like nobody that's been mean to me. I got a heart full of stone, and I hate the misery. Then you came along into my life, destroying me more, mounting up the toil and strife. But I'm a fool. See, 'cause I'm a fool for you.
ELO, also from the Xanadu soundtrack. How about, all right, enough of the guilty pleasure stuff this morning. Annie was great. She's going to be out with Always Olivia this Friday night. And there are still tickets available, lyrictheater.com. And it really super easy. I mean, when I clicked on it last night, boom, there's a button right there. Click, a few clicks in, get out to the Lyric Theater out in Blue Island. And she's going to be with Mulberry Street, Billy Joel tribute. So pretty good night of music there down on the south side. And hope to have Annie on another time. She was fantastic. And just... I love it when there's a lot of tribute bands out there, but, you know, some of the tribute bands, I'm just going to be honest with you, they're just doing it, you know, because tribute bands are hot right now and all that stuff. But I love it when people really behind the scenes, they're getting to perform their heroes, songs and song lists and music that they grew up on, and even... In Annie's situation, she actually got to meet Olivia Newton-John a couple times. How cool is that? And always Olivia. And you can check out their schedule on Facebook or their website. Anyway, I better, seeing as how there's always a yin and yang to everything, and I kind of showed my underbelly this morning, maybe I better crank up the testosterone a little bit, I think.
We'll be right back.
All right, Uncle Ted, bringing the testosterone back to the Mark Rickey Radio Show after exposing my underbelly of some of my guilty pleasures of living in Newton John's music this morning. How about happy 80th birthday to Mr. Bob Seger yesterday, 80 years old. I hope he comes around one more time. I got to see him one more time, but until then, we still got him live on the Mark Rickey Radio Show.
She made her way alone down at Street, down on Main Street, down on Main Street. Oh.
in the night. One last shot, one last song. We're here to rock.
You're listening to WLCB LP Slade's Corners. You won't believe your ears.
Welcome to the clubhouse. Great Beards Clubhouse, that is. Every Friday at 8:30 to 11 p.m., we are bringing you the best of classic rock, rock and blues. All my rowdy friends are invited to join us each and every Friday. So you guys know what to do. Kick back, relax, and get your favorite buds on with Greybeard's Clubhouse on WLCB.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Mix from Your Insurance Corner. Do you have questions about your health or life insurance, long-term care, retirement, and legacy planning? If you